Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Samai, good evening and welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday the 11th of June. If you're just getting in the car, ready for the drive home or just putting the kettle on, stick with me for half an hour of the latest news from the Isle of Man. Coming up, we have an update from the Education Minister on the roundabout cost of that report into the island's schools. Shocking and stark, that's how a charity has described the findings of a recent review into adult learning disability care on the island. Plus, Port Erin Commissioners is looking to fill a vacant seat in an upcoming by-election. Could it be you? All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. Let us know your thoughts. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, let's get the headlines with Christian Jones. Fastamai.
The Education Minister has revealed that the cost of a three-year contract for external validation of island schools is between £150,000 and £250,000. Daphne Kane shared the range in a letter to Tynwald members following criticism over her refusal to publish the exact amount. A man who indecently assaulted a girl several times over a three-month period has been jailed for 2 years and 3 months. Samuel Fletcher carried out the assault between December 2021 and February 2022. Manx MenCap says the failings in adult learning disability care on the island are shocking and stark.
Before COVID, you know, in 2020, we had a learning disability strategy put in place, which was to run for 5 years. COVID hit, the strategy was disbanded. The strategy was making progress. We were told that the strategy, people with learning disabilities were covered within the carer strategy and within the autism strategy. But that is not the case. We have not been well served.
That's Frances Tinkler from the charity there, who says families were not surprised by the recent review, but the scale of issues still hits hard. And the Vice Chair of Port Erin Commissioners says people moaning about the village should join the board and help make a difference. The local authority is one of five looking to fill vacant seats left following April's elections. In the latest international news now, and the UK Chancellor is putting a £29 billion a year rise in NHS funding at the heart of her plans for renewing Britain. Her spending review saw boosts too for defence, schools and housing. But opposition parties have criticised the plans, like Reform Deputy Leader Richard Tice.
This is a Chancellor who has given a spending review where basically she's pandered to her public sector union paymasters. The government spending is completely out of control.
Meanwhile, the UK government's agreed a post-Brexit deal on Gibraltar. Ministers said it avoids the need for checks on people and goods crossing the border with Spain. And David Beckham is to guest edit an edition of Country Life magazine. The former England captain will join the editorial team for an issue released in October. Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Gromayed, thank you, Christian. Let's turn our attention to the weather now from the Ronalds Way Met Office, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Continuing fine this evening and dry and clear overnight. Fresher southeast winds developing tonight with temperatures no lower than 13 degrees. Tomorrow will then start dry, but later in the afternoon, rain will arrive. This likely to turn persistent and heavy for a time, with a risk of localised downpours, before clearing away later in the evening. Fresh southeast winds, with the maximum temperature a rather humid 17 degrees. Then turning misty in many places tomorrow night, then a damp and misty start on Friday. However, sunny intervals will develop as the day goes on, with only isolated showers. Sunset tonight is at 10 to 10, cowboy time, and sunrise tomorrow morning at 5:15.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
work.
At Pagode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Yes, indeed, and the time now at 5:05. There's been a new development in the ongoing row over school assessment reports, with the Education Minister now revealing for the first time a ballpark cost for the government's contract with Etio. Christian Jones is with us now. Fastamai, Christian, bring us up to speed with what this is all about.
Fastamai, Lewis. Yeah, this relates to the external validation of schools across the island, something which has drawn increasing scrutiny over the past few months. Etio, the company brought in to carry out these reviews, was appointed under a three-year contract to assess all schools and education services. But since the programme began, there's been criticism, particularly from backbench MHKs, about the lack of transparency. We've seen just one-page summaries published for each school with varying levels of detail, while the full reports have been withheld completely. On top of that, the government has refused to disclose how much the Etio contract was costing, and that's drawn repeated questions in Tynwald and Keys, and even a formal request from the Education Minister herself to be excused from answering, citing commercial sensitivity.
Yes, indeed. Let's listen to this from the House of Keys yesterday.
It's not nonsense. You may not like the answer, but the answer is my belief that I am not able to share the exact amount with public for commercially sensitive reasons, as I've said. I fully accept there is public interest in knowing every single bit of every detail of government expenditure. However, it is not in the public interest if by revealing and announcing all those figures that commercial confidentiality is breached.
Education Minister Daphne Kane there. But Christian, she's now changed course slightly.
Yeah, somewhat. Daphne Kane has written to all Tynwald members confirming that the total cost of the Etio contract is somewhere between £150,000 and £250,000 over its three-year term. She says publishing the exact figure would still be detrimental to the island's interests, especially with 1 year left on the deal, but that many members had indicated they'd accept a cost range. The figure covers not only the review visits, but also travel, accommodation, and the compilation of the summary reports and the annual overviews.
So is this the end of the matter?
Well, probably not. This move does represent a somewhat softening of the department's stance. There's still some unease. Daphne Kane has come under some heavy criticism from MHKs, including Laurie Hooper, who argues the public has a right to know both the financial details and what the assessments actually say. Mr. Hooper, in fact, is actually due to bring a motion to Tynwald later this month calling for the full reports and the department's internal quality assurance framework to be published in full. He's also proposing that unredacted versions be submitted to the president of Tynwald under the Tynwald Proceedings Act if the department won't publish them.
So it sounds, Christian, like the pressure's not going away anytime soon.
No. I mean, this is, in essence, the minister trying to appease the backbenchers by offering a middle ground on cost transparency. But whether that will be enough will remain to be seen. But the core issue actually hasn't gone away. The contents of the school validation reports remain undisclosed. So while we have a rough idea of the cost, the public still doesn't know what those reports actually say in their entirety. So it's likely that Daphne Kane hasn't heard the last of this.
Christian Jones, thank you, Gura Mayed, for joining us in the studio now. The time approaching 5:09. The Chief Minister insists his administration has responded to concerns raised at last year's government roadshows. Across the four events, 430 people attended, while 76 feedback forms were completed. Alfred Cannon has faced questions on this in the House of Keys.
The topics raised by the public last year were wide and varied, but there were clear themes such as immigration, access to health, mental health services for young people, taxation, housing, the cost of the Isle of Man steam packet company fares, and the size and cost of government. A great deal of work has taken place in the past 12 months around security and immigration, with a significant update due at the July sitting of Tynwald. On mental health services, we have invested heavily in this area, spending £4 million to tackle waiting lists and transform the service. On taxation, the higher rate of income tax was reduced by 1% at this year's budget to 21%. On housing, hundreds of new homes have been built and more are in the pipeline, We've reformed planning to make it easier to build. We continue to explore new ways of delivering more social housing, and the Manx Development Corporation has just completed its first project in the old nurses' home. So far, 188 affordable homes have been delivered in the lifetime of this administration, with a further 160 expected to be delivered over the remaining life of the administration, more than the entirety of the last administration. Work is ongoing in developing a tenancy arbitration scheme which will give tenants enhanced protection in the rental market. And on getting a grip on the size and cost of government, we have brought in a recruitment control framework, bringing much greater scrutiny to filling existing and creating new jobs. We have increased transparency with a new quarterly workforce report, and we are squeezing as much as we can of efficiency from the public service with a £50 million scheme to deliver efficiencies over the next 5 years, ensuring better public services that deliver better value for money.
Mr. Hooper?
I think nearly everything the Chief Minister mentioned actually in his remarks there were things that were already in train before the roadshows. The question I was asking is, what influence did the roadshows actually have on any of those policies?
Well, that's not quite correct, actually. Okay. I think that the roadshows bring a valuable voice from the public to the council and ministers. They allow us to understand what are the key issues still from a public perspective, and to seek from us a relevant reflection on the policies that we are undertaking and the importance of those.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon there, facing questions from Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
A charity says the recent review into adult learning disability care on the island was shocking and stark. Director of Manx MenCap, Francis Tinkler, says the conclusions of the independent Cordis Bright review published in May came as no surprise to families, despite the severity of the findings. She's criticised the lack of strategy and claims people with disabilities have long been sidelined and let down. Christian asked her what her initial reaction was when reading the report.
To be honest, we were aware of what was going to be coming because we had done our own survey, which we'd fed back to Cordis Bright. So we had some idea of what the report was going to say. But it didn't really prepare us for the report is quite shocking, really. It's very stark on the service across the board.
And were there any particular findings that may have come as a surprise to you at all?
No, there was nothing that came to a surprise as a surprise to us, because as parents, we're well aware of the failings across the system, the long-standing failings across the system, which were, I suppose, exacerbated by COVID. But they were there long before COVID.
And you've said these findings confirm what many families have known for years. If that is the case, why do you think nothing was done beforehand?
That's a hard question to answer, really. I can't answer that because we've been raising these issues for many years. Before COVID, you know, in 2020, we had a learning disability strategy put in place, which was to run for 5 years. COVID hit, the strategy was disbanded. The strategy was making progress and inroads into the difficulties faced across the service. But it was disbanded for whatever reason. I don't know. It was a Manx Care decision to disband it. And we consequently had no strategy going forward. We were told that the strategy, people with learning disabilities were covered within the carer strategy and within the autism strategy. But that is not the case. We have not been well served.
Director of Manx MenCap, Francis Tinkler there. Well, Manx Care in response says it accepts the findings and is working on improvements, but admits change will take time. The time now coming up to 14 minutes past five. A man who indecently assaulted a girl several times over a three-month period has been jailed for 2 years and 3 months. Samuel Fletcher carried out the assaults between December 2021 and February 2022. Sean Cowper has this report.
Douglas Courthouse heard the 33-year-old's actions had affected every part of the victim's life, BBC Isle of Man reports. Fletcher had denied the charges but was found guilty of three counts of indecent assault on the girl, who was under the age of 16 at the time, after a trial in April. The court heard his offending took place between the 11th of December 2021 and the 5th of February 2022. In a victim impact statement read to the court, the girl said she felt numb as a result of Fletcher's actions, suffered from stress headaches, and her education has been ruined, adding, "Every part of my life has been impacted by what happened. I have no focus in my life anymore." Placing Fletcher on the sex offenders register for 10 years, Deemster Graeme Cook said she had been particularly vulnerable at the time and was now a damaged young girl who needed support. Deemster Cook said Fletcher being under the influence of alcohol at the time of the offending was an aggravating factor in the case. He said the 33-year-old's actions had caused his victim severe psychological harm. It was important to be mindful of the impact of this type of offending on children, the Deemster said. Fletcher was also made the subject of a sexual harm prevention order, restricting his contact with anyone under the age of 16.
Sean Cowper with that report.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, not much to report out on the roads this evening other than the works that have been in place over the last few days. There's no warnings from the police, I'm glad to say. If there is anything you would like to report and it's safe to do so, send me a WhatsApp on 166 177. Meanwhile, over at the airport, I can see a couple of delays on the departure board. The 7:55 Loganair flight to Edinburgh tonight and the 8:10 EasyJet flight to Gatwick, both currently scheduled to go at 8:15. I imagine one will have to go before the other, but we'll keep an eye on that. Looks to be that they are expecting the inbound flights to come in a little late, creating that knock-on effect. Otherwise, if you're on the boat tonight, it's plain sailing. Manxman left Heysham just after 2 o'clock and will be arriving back here in Douglas at 6, just in time for the Mananans' departure for Liverpool.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The chair of Port Erin Commissioners says joining the board is worthwhile and decisions made have a real impact on the community. It's one of five local authorities looking to fill vacant seats left following April's elections. Hannah McKenzie says those looking to stand don't have to give their life to the role, whilst Vice Chair Barbara Guy believes people who are interested in what's happening in the village should consider joining. Our local democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to them.
You don't have to give your whole life up to it, but what you do give is so worthwhile and it means so much for yourself, for the community, for your friends, your neighbours and your family. And I think it's a really worthwhile thing to do.
And you've been on the board since 2012. So how have you seen it change and what advice would you have for people who might be thinking, oh, maybe I'd like to give it a go or they're a bit on the fence?
Now a reduced board from what we were when I joined. There was 9 members and now there's only 7. And I think it's really important to get a diverse opinion on things that are happening in the village. And I think, you know, we definitely do need to have a full complement on the board in order to get those different opinions. And I would strive to say anybody, if you're interested in what's happening to the village, you know, don't moan about it, that things aren't getting done. Just come and make a difference because, you know, we can join together and we can change things, hopefully.
What do you think makes like a good commissioner from the people that you've worked with on the board over the last 10 years or so?
I just think, well, you know, what makes a good commissioner is listening to the community and to open your mind to other ideas, not to be so sort of blinkered in your own ideas, because sometimes, you know, other people have got useful ideas that, you know, you can sort of work with in order to make a difference. And I think it's that community coming together to make a difference. And I think people should be able to approach their commissioner with confidence that we will listen to them. And we can't always make a big difference to what they expect, but we certainly can listen and try and do as much as we can.
That's Hannah McKenzie and Vice Chair Barbara Guy from Port Erin Commissioners speaking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper there. Now, Dick Welsh, MBE, says he's honoured to have been reappointed as the Isle of Man's Commissioner to the Northern Lighthouse Board. He's serving another 3-year term following a nomination from the Lieutenant Governor. Here he is explaining more about the role.
Essentially, it's a non-exec role. The Northern Lighthouse Board requires a board of commissioners that have oversight and governance of what the actual executive do, what the people who do the work in Northern Lighthouse Board do. And because it's Scotland and the Isle of Man, then there's a requirement to have an Isle of Man-based commissioner who is recommended by the Lieutenant Governor and then appointed by the UK Secretary of State. So that's my role, and it's a joy. Well, the Northern Lighthouse Board is important to the Isle of Man because the waters of Scotland and the Isle of Man have been considered together
and they have the same General Lighthouse Authority, which is the Northern Lighthouse Board of Scotland. So superintendents of our waters, looking after the lighthouses and the buoys in Isle of Man waters, and safety of vessels passing through the Isle of Man waters is key, and it's the Northern Lighthouse Board that looks after that. It is a fabulous organisation, the Northern Lighthouse Board. It does the right thing in terms of the environment, in terms of new technologies, in terms of reducing our carbon footprint. As you can see, we work in incredible environments, sometimes incredibly difficult environments, and making sure that we're not disturbing the seabird nesting areas or the seal haul-out sites. Those kind of things is where we're really headed at the moment, and it's a fantastic organisation to be part of.
That's Dick Welsh, MBE there, who's been reappointed as the Isle of Man's Commissioner to the Northern Lighthouse Board. Interesting he should mention seabirds there, because people are being urged to report any sightings they have of puffins around the island. The Manx Wildlife Trust is hoping to be able to keep track of the numbers in Manx waters. Their numbers have significantly decreased in recent years. Lara Howe is from the charity and has been telling Amy Griffiths when the best time to spot a puffin is.
It's right now. Now's the time to be seeing the puffins around our Manx waters.
And they are very distinctive, so they are quite easy to spot. It's one of those things, if you see a puffin, you know it's a puffin, don't you?
Absolutely. It's that brightly coloured bill makes them very unmistakable.
And where's the best place to spot them on the island?
There's a few places that you can see them. The back of Peel Hill, where the other seabirds are nesting around there. Often you can see them on the water down there, but also down by the Sound and the Calf and up to Sugarloaf, and that sort of area down there is a really good place to see them as well. And if you're really lucky, you might see them at Mackled Head.
And what are the puffin numbers like here? How are they doing?
Like many of our other seabirds, puffin numbers aren't doing well. There's probably a handful of pairs that are actively breeding around the Isle of Man now, and this would have been a lot higher. We know from the Calf that there would have been thousands of them breeding there a long time ago. And as far as we're aware at the moment, we don't have any breeding puffins on the Calf, unfortunately.
Do we know what's led to that decline?
I think it's the same issue for a lot of our seabirds around the island and further afield for that matter. And one of the big problems that we have obviously on the Calf that many people will be aware of was the introduction of RATs as a result of a shipwreck. And puffins, like our Manx shearwaters, are ground nesting birds. So the RATs have really good access to the eggs in the burrows. So that was probably one of the major declines of puffins on the Calf.
That's Lara Howe speaking to Amy there. If you do spot any puffins, you can report them to the Manx Wildlife Trust by emailing Lara on lara@mwt.im.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
We'll turn our attention to sport now. Over the last 2 weeks, whilst many eyes will have been on the TT, Manx sporting history was made on the other side of the world in boxing. Island fighter Sam Rennie was recently crowned WBC Australasia Silver Super Featherweight Champion in Australia. He's been telling Manx Radio about this major triumph and his plans for the rest of the year.
I'm still struggling to find words to justify it and make it sound as great as it feels, because it truly was the best night of my life. The build-up was tense and everyone kept on talking about this is your chance to make history, and there was a lot of pressure on it. And it's just one of them feelings, like even now when I look back on it, it's almost hard to believe it actually happened. And I almost became a bit numb on the lead up to the fight, because I didn't want the situation to get the better of me, and it was hard to soak up the moment. And then now when I look back on it, it's almost like I don't believe it even happened. So it's hard to find the words to explain it. But yeah, to think throughout history, my kids and my grandkids one day and so on, they'll always speak about Manx boxing, and the first ever Manx champion was Sam Rennie. Like, that's just a crazy feeling. To say that out loud is surreal, honestly. So I get to keep the belt forever now. Whether or not I keep the status forever, that belt as a reward, that'll stay with me forever. So eventually when I'm older and I'm an old man, my grandkids will hold that title.
Looking forward then, when are you hoping that you'll next be back in the ring?
Well, 2 days after I won the title, I was straight on the phone to Tony Tolles, my manager, and we've got a fight date, August 29th. I can't speak on the opponent yet, but it's a huge step up in opposition. Like, it would be a real tough task and a big test for me, but that's what I'm in the sport for. Do you know, I want to see how far I can go.
Where would you like to see yourself at the end of 2025?
I'm already the champion of two different continents. There's one more belt I would like to get before the year ends. I skipped the Western Australia title and I went straight to the big one, but I wouldn't mind just taking a little back step, but you know, I just feel like I've got a bit of unfinished business there. So if I can come back to the island at the end of the year to visit my family and visit the old boxing gym, if I can have two titles wrapped around my shoulder, that would be the year ticked off.
That's Isle of Man boxer Sam Rennie there, speaking to Rob Pritchard, who joins us in the studio now with a look at the rest of the sporting news. Fast am I, Rob?
Fast am I, Lewis. Well, first off tonight, former Ireland rugby player Bevan Rodd has been called up to the England training squad ahead of the national team's next clash later this month. The Sale Shark star is one of 20 forwards selected in Steve Borthwick's 36-strong training team, which is undertaking a four-day training camp. It's part of preparations for England's upcoming tie against France at the Allianz Stadium on Saturday, the 21st of June. Furthermore, Rod is the only Sharks player selected amongst the forwards. Elsewhere, five of his teammates, Joe Carpenter, George Ford, Ricketti, Marcy White, Rafi Quirk and Tom Roebuck, are also in the training squad as part of the backs. Elsewhere in motorsport, a sidecar team whose machine suffered significant damage at this year's TT is expecting some large costs if it hopes to get back to racing. Peter Fownes and Jevon Walmsley were involved in an incident at Rencullen during qualifying at this year's TT on Sunday the 1st of June. Whilst both competitors were discharged from hospital a day later, the team has taken to social media to say now they've had the chance to fully assess the bike, the damage is far worse than they could have imagined. Included in that, they say, the chassis will need to be completely replaced and the fire destroyed all the electrics, including the ECU and clock. Adding, in short, the entire bike is a total loss. Well, currently, Team Found states its rough idea of prices could see a chassis cost between £5,000 and £12,000, electronics around £8,000, £5,000 for wheels, hubs and brakes, £3,000 on suspension, and a further £3,000 on ancillaries and other parts. Well, following their crash, a GoFundMe page has been set up to assist Team Found financially, with donations as of today currently at more than £11,700, with a target to generate £13,000 in total. And finally, the Isle of Man's badminton squads now know who they'll face in the team event at this year's Island Games. The Isle of Man has been placed in Group C, along with the game's hosts Orkney, as well as Gotland and Bermuda. Well, the Manx team will be hoping to build on the tally of three medals they took in badminton at the 2023 Games in Guernsey. 2 years ago, Jessica Lee and Kim Clegg claimed gold in the women's doubles. Lee secured individual silver in the women's singles, whilst Lee and Matthew Nicholson were bronze medal winners in the mixed doubles.
Gromyard, Rob Pritchard, thank you. That's it for Update tonight. Howard Kane is here next with Spotlight, and Chris Kinley is back at 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits, so stay tuned for that. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. In the meantime, have a great evening, and Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.